Sit back, relax, and open that eye. You are now listening to the Paranormal Patriot.
You are talking about the nonsensical ravings of a lunatic mind.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
You know, it is, it's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
You know, we've seen three glowing figures out in the field. It seemed like their heads were glowing.
This is Harvey Gott, and I'm the host of Satire Is Not Dead. Join me every Wednesday for new episodes. Satire Is Not Dead is in the Cinescape Media Network. You can learn more about this program and other programs by visiting cinescape.media.
And welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to another episode of the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week. As always, wearing the tinfoil hat, I am your gracious host. My name is Tom Velasquez. Again, thank you for joining me this week. We're gonna have an offshoot show this week. We are going to talk just briefly about politics. I'm trying to get off a little bit of politics. You can only do so many politics before it grates on you beyond belief. We're going to do most of the show regarding the paranormal. I've had numerous listeners send me articles and just send me an email saying, hey, what do you think about all these monoliths that are being seen? This is a topic that is worldwide. It is making mainstream news. Everybody's talking about it. I have to talk about it. So you'll hear my thoughts on what is going on with these monoliths. We will talk about, and this is because I've had for the past couple months numerous, they just keep racking up, encounters that I've come across on the internet and encounters that my listeners have sent to me. We're going to talk encounters with Mothman and Dogman, because those two cryptids are the two cryptids that are really, really being seen by a lot of people, and it's not just in my neck of the woods. It's across the country and across the planet. So the question is, why are people now seeing Dogman? Why are they now seeing Mothman at an alarming rate? Mothman, we did a number of shows back a year and a half, 2 years ago, regarding the Mothman of Chicago, because Chicago was a hotbed. But as I was doing those shows, I would be getting reports from listeners and reports I would find on the internet where it wasn't just Chicago anymore. And it seems like Mothman has expanded. Dogman, same way. So we're going to talk about that. But before we get into the paranormal of the show, I have to talk to you about the election. Now, I'm going to ruffle some feathers here. A lot of people are going to agree with me, but I have some very, very, very conservative friends who love Trump. And when I tell them the election was rigged, the election was stolen, they laugh at me. Call me a conspiracy theorist, and that's fine. You can call me a conspiracy theorist. But if you look at things objectively, and listen, I do. I try my best to look at things objectively. I look at things from both sides of the pane of glass, and I try to get both viewpoints. But honestly, if you can honestly look at yourself in the mirror and say that there are no irregularities, that this election was legitimate, congratulations, you have been brainwashed. You are probably the one that I see driving alone in a car wearing a mask because your government says so. There is overwhelming proof that there are major, major irregularities. There is no way, mathematically, Joe Biden could not have beaten Donald Trump. Let's look at this objectively. We're not going to look at Donald Trump's 2020 or 2016 performance. We'll look at the savior, Barack Obama, when he won re-election by a landslide in 2012. Here's the facts. Joe Biden underperformed Barack Obama's 2012 numbers everywhere except in the cities that basically gave him the election. Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and Atlanta. Joe Biden lost 212 more counties than Obama did in 2012. Biden won 477 counties in this country in 2020. In 2012, and again, this was a landslide victory, Obama won 689. Yet, Biden magically gained 13 million more votes than Obama. Those numbers alone should tell you that that is mathematically impossible. You cannot lose 200 and some odd counties, but gain 13 million votes. And you'll have the Democrats come out and say, well, more people voted. Not 13 million people more in those specific counties. No, it's impossible. Biden only won 1/6 of all counties and failed to outperform 2016 in the largest counties. Yet he won more votes than President Trump, Hillary Clinton, or Barack Obama. It doesn't add up. Donald Trump actually gained more votes this year than he did in 2016, but lost. So there's been a lot of talk about election fraud and stealing of the votes. And in Georgia this week, some of you, most of you have probably seen the video where they shut things down at 10 o'clock. And again, this should raise a red flag. On election night at 10 o'clock, Fulton County just says, we're done counting. I've mentioned it before. In all the years since 1980, I have been following elections. That's never happened. States just don't stop counting. Well, as they stopped counting, the surveillance in the State Farm Center in Atlanta, Georgia, the surveillance footage still continued to run. And you can see four individuals go under a table, and it has a black covering over it like you see at weddings, and they pull out four suitcases. And after they pull out these four suitcases, they start opening them up, and they're full of ballots. Nobody knows where these ballots are. Nobody knows where they came from. Nobody knows what's on them. But then they start throwing them in the ballot counters. They did this for 2.5 hours with no supervision. Now, you're going to have the Democrats tell you, well, yeah, there was supervision. There's no supervision. There's nobody else in that room. The Georgia Secretary of State has come out and said, we've already looked at this and there's nothing there. But there is something there. There are four individuals that pulled suitcases out from under a table full of ballots. They figure in those 2.5 hours that they scanned 30,000 ballots. That's 30,000 votes. And I can tell you right now who received 90% of those votes. That would be Joe Biden, if not more than 90%. So we see this, and we see the irregularities of postmasters from North Carolina driving into Pennsylvania and dropping off mail-in votes. Nobody knows where they came from, but then the ballots disappear. Not only that, but his trailer disappears. Nobody knows where it is. And then this week in Michigan, we had a legislator meeting with Rudy Giuliani about the fraud in Michigan. And I want to play for you a clip from a young lady who, well, she signed an affidavit stating under penalty of law that she witnessed irregularities. And she was brought front and center into the Michigan legislature. And this is what she had to say. Her name is Melissa Carone. And she was hired by Dominion Software. We all know who Dominion Software is. And the line she has right near the end of this exchange with Representative Stephen Johnson, who is a Republican, is it says it all. And it says it all for every one of these hundreds of people, I mean thousands of people across this country who have signed affidavits stating that they saw election fraud. This is Melissa Carone, and her brief response is like 2 minutes long. Listen to this.
The poll book is completely off. Completely off.
Off that by 30,000?
I'd say that poll book is off by over 100,000. That poll book, why don't you look at the registered voters on there? How many registered voters are on there? Do you even know the answer to that?
No, I guess I'm trying to get to the bottom
zero.
Of this here.
Zero. There's zero.
So my question then is if the...
Guess how many... Wait. What about the turnout rate? 120%?
Let's let Representative Johnson ask his question, please.
So the poll book number... Okay, there's two things that could happen here. Either the poll book number... If ballots were counted multiple times, there's two options. Option number one is that the poll book numbers are not going to match.
They don't.
The actual. Not by thousands and thousands of votes. That's not what we see right now.
Take a look again.
Option number two is that they essentially were filling in names of people who didn't vote.
Dead people, too?
So is that,
let's
I guess,
let
is that
Representative
your
Johnson ask his question, and then when
I
he's
thought that
done,
was his answer. Okay.
Well, I guess my question is why we're not seeing the poll book off by 30,000 votes. That's not the case.
What did you guys do? Take it and do something crazy to it?
I'm just saying the numbers are not off by 30,000 votes. So
I know what
are you
I
saying
saw.
That they're filling in?
I know what I saw. And I signed something saying that if I'm wrong, I can go to prison. Okay. Did you?
Okay, I'm just trying to ask you a legitimate
question here.
Yeah, let's let Representative Johnson ask his question, and then don't interrupt him. And then if you want to respond to it, that's fine. And did you have more, Representative?
Yeah, I guess I just want to keep following back up with the poll book. So are we saying that the poll book is either wildly off or that they are filling in names?
It's wildly off, and dead people voted, and illegals voted.
Okay.
So that's my answer.
The key point in that whole exchange is when she said, I signed a piece of paper stating that if what I'm basically telling you is not true, I go to jail. Did you? Because these politicians, they can say anything they want without any repercussions. These whistleblowers, which, by the way, have to become public all of a sudden, back when Trump was being impeached, there was no way they were going to expose the whistleblower, but they want everybody that signed an affidavit to be known publicly. It's kind of a double standard, if you ask me, but the thousands and thousands of people across this country that have signed sworn affidavits saying they witnessed election fraud with the penalty that if you are lying, you are going to prison. That should speak volumes. And you, as you can imagine, now listen, I get how Melissa sounds. She sounds like, well, I'm going to age myself here, but she sounds like a valley girl. You know, gag me with a spoon, grody. It's just that she has an attitude in the media, in the late night talk shows, Saturday Night Live, are just going off on this woman, you know, ridiculing her, making fun of her, but she went in there with an attitude because she knew what she saw. And the Washington Post, when they reported on this, the headline was Trump campaign star witness goes viral after blatantly false testimony. So the question is, who's determining that that's blatantly false? Because as this woman said, and as the thousands of other whistleblowers have come out and just basically said, this isn't right. We saw things that don't make sense. They put their freedom on the line. These politicians, these media journalists, and I put that in quotes, they don't have that worry behind them. These journalists, these reporters, they can say anything they want. They can say that Trump star witness goes viral after blatantly false testimony. Who's determining that's false? You have no proof that it's false. This woman signed an affidavit saying what she is saying she saw happened, under premise that if she is lying about it, she goes to jail. I don't see any politician doing that. Not that that would matter, but I don't see any journalist doing that. Not that it would matter. But there are things happening that are really disturbing. I knew from the get-go, the night of the election, I knew, and even before the election, I would tell people, people would come up, oh, Trump's got this in the bag. There's no way Trump's losing. And I kept telling people, do not underestimate the Democrats' ability to cheat. It came to fruition. Even their ability, even in my eyes, their ability to cheat was far beyond what I thought it could be. These guys, A, cheat very well, but B, they're not really smart about it. You can't have the number, like I said, 212 less counties than Barack Obama won in a landslide victory over Mitt Romney in 2012. But yet, he has 13 million more votes than Barack Obama. You cannot attribute that to voter turnout. The voter turnout, just like Melissa said, in some areas was 120%. Mathematically not possible. There has not been a presidential candidate that has won Florida, Ohio, and Iowa since 1852. And by the way, this is before the Republican Party. There has not been anyone that has won Florida, Ohio, and Iowa and lost an election. There's fraud galore. But here's the truth. Nothing's going to happen. People are getting tired of it already. People are tired of it. They just want to go and just say, let Biden, just give it to Biden. I'm tired of hearing about it. Because here in America, our attention spans are about a millisecond. That's it. We get tired of hearing the same thing over and over. People are just like, at this point, let Trump run. Let him run in 2024. But I'm telling you right now, we let this go and we'll never see a Republican president again. Because the Democrats know how to cheat now. And they know that if they just keep pressing on, the American people are going to forget about it and just say, whatever. And this is what we conservatives do. We sit here and we bitch and we moan and we whine and this isn't right. But, you know, enough time goes by and we'll just say, whatever, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. And give it to the Democrats because they are persistent. They would fight this. They spent 4 years fighting to get Trump out of office. They are persistent. You know, we as conservatives, Barack Obama was in there 8 years. Did you see us rioting? Did you see us protesting? Did you see us doing anything to impeach this man, which there were many impeachable offenses? Did you see anything that conservatives did to get rid of him? No. Because the Democrats, they're relentless. And that is their strong point. They know conservatives will just say, you know what, I'm done. I don't want conflict. Well, we need conflict. We need to stand strong. We need to hold steady and know and fight this thing through. It's not going to happen. Joe Biden in January will be inaugurated as president. He is going to last 4 to 6 months, and then Kamala Harris is going to come in, and she is the most radical member of the Senate, and she will bring that radical nature to her presidency. Your freedoms are going bye-bye. You know, I it just irks me how many people think that Joe Biden is going to be the best thing that happened to this country. I have so many friends that are so happy because Joe Biden took the country back from the brink of Trump and brought it back to prosperity. Well, first off, Joe Biden hasn't done anything. But secondly, what prosperity did you not have under Donald Trump? You had the most robust economy since at least World War II. If you are you are a minority, you had the best chance of getting a job and bettering yourself than any time in the last 60, 70, 80 years, if not more. What did Donald Trump do that was so bad? Really, ask yourself that. And what do you think Joe Biden's going to do better? Oh, he's going to include LGBTQ, whatever the hell they are, the gay community, in everything. He's going to allow transgender males to compete as females. How is that going to make America better? This is your president. His sole job is to make this country better. To give illegals amnesty, millions and millions and millions and millions of illegals amnesty, and basically give them citizenship. How does that make this country better? To let transgender children play against, if you're a transgender male and you identify as a female and you're playing as a female, how does that make this country better? This is why I loved Donald Trump, because he made this country better. He lowered taxes, he brought jobs into this country, and he kept us safe. That's all I want out of my president. And now you have the Taliban saying, look, Joe Biden gets in, it's war again. Because they know how soft the Democrats are, because they don't want to ruffle any feathers. Where Donald Trump was like, I'll ruffle your feathers. I'm your Huckleberry. ISIS in 2016 was a big worry for this country. You don't hear from them now. When's the last time you heard from the Taliban other than when Joe Biden was the president-elect? Again, I'm going to ruffle feathers, but if you can look at this objectively and say that there was no voter fraud, that this election wasn't stolen, congratulations, you've been indoctrinated. Enjoy your coronavirus vaccine. And I waited a couple weeks to get the results, and I'm going to tell you, the results have come in hot and heavy. I asked you the last couple weeks, would you take the coronavirus vaccine? And overwhelmingly, 93% of you said absolutely not, no way in God's green earth. Now, one email that came to me really struck a nerve with me, and it really hit home because there are people out there that are not going to have a choice. I want to read to you this email, and I'm not going to give her full name because I haven't got permission yet, but she's going to know who she is. But this is the dilemma that our first responders are going to face. The email came from MD, and MD states, you asked if we would take the vaccine. My answer is a firm no. I am an RN. I work in an emergency room. I am so afraid that I will lose my job if they make this vaccine mandatory for healthcare workers. But I strongly feel that this is not just a vaccine. There's something much, much more nefarious behind it. Thank you for all you do. I so love your podcast. God bless. This is the worry. If you're a first responder, a paramedic, a doctor, a nurse, a firefighter, whoever, a police officer, are you going to be mandated to take this vaccine? And now they're talking about vaccination passports. In other words, any new passport that comes out, there's going to be a spot on there that shows that you are vaccinated against the coronavirus, a virus with a 99.2% survival rate. We have to be vaccinated for. Now they're talking about a stimulus again, now that Joe Biden's in, because, well, we as Democrats have to make ourselves look good now, so we're going to talk stimulus when we wouldn't do it with Donald Trump. They are talking a $1,500 check to each person, and the stipulation is you have to take the coronavirus vaccine. Now, to me, that's a huge red flag. Why are you stipulating my economic future on the premise that I have to take the coronavirus vaccine, that I have to receive the coronavirus vaccine? If I don't get that vaccine, then you aren't giving me that $1,500, even though I may need it. This is socialism at work right here. Now, Cosmic Dreamer has just walked in the studio, and he has something to say, so I'll let Cosmic Dreamer take over from here real quick. Go ahead, Dreamer, speak into the microphone.
Okay, to add on to your point, they're basically making you a guinea pig, paying you $1,500 to put unknown substances in you.
And you're exactly right. So here's my theory.
let's have the politicians take this vaccine, wait a couple months, see if they turn into zombies, and then if not, then we're good. But that'll never happen. Again, why are you enticing me and telling me that if I want to receive this $1,500 check from the government, then I have to receive the coronavirus vaccine? That's, again, nefarious, because you can't force me to do that. You cannot pick and choose who gets this. And if you can, why? What are you trying to accomplish? Again, this is a virus with a 99.2% survival rate. This isn't the Spanish flu. This isn't the bubonic plague where 40 to 50% of the people that contracted it died. 0.8% of the people that contract the coronavirus die. But yet, we are making this out like it's the bubonic plague. I just don't get it. So, you know, I'd like to know, and here's the new question. Is the $1,500 check from the government going to entice you to receive the coronavirus vaccine? If you are a first responder like MD, what do you do if they mandate that you have to receive the vaccine? Do you take it? Or do you just walk away from your job? That's a tough one. And don't think that that's not going to come to fruition. They are going to mandate that everyone receive this vaccine. And if you don't, you are not able to go to concerts. You're not able to fly. You're not able to go to the store. You're not able to go out in public. It's almost like the mark of the beast in Revelations. Is Revelations upon us right now? Starting to look that way. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about all these monoliths that are all over the place and just happen to vanish. What are they? Where'd they go? Are they real? Were they a prank? You're going to hear it from my mouth, what I think of all of these monoliths. So sit back, relax, open that mind. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back.
The static lies. See, I know you're the silent.
The stuff of nightmares.
Hey, everybody, this is Rick Ness, host of the Stuff of Nightmares podcast. Ever since I was a child, I was fascinated by stories of the paranormal and the unknown. Reading about encounters with Bigfoot, the Jersey Devil, UFOs, or even living in a house where spirits roam intrigued me. As an adult, reading true crime stories and watching true crime documentaries made me realize that monsters don't just live in your closet or under your bed. Monsters might just live next door. Come with me on a journey to the unknown and the unthinkable, where the things that people do to each other are just as frightening as the things we can't explain. Every episode, I will delve into the world of the paranormal and lesser-known heinous true crime. Each story of the unknown will be true first-hand accounts told by the person that had the experience or submitted to me to be read for them. You can listen to the Stuff of Nightmares podcast on the website at www.thestuffofnightmarespodcast.show, your favorite podcast app, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Alrighty, you just heard Rick Ness, and at the beginning of the show, you heard from Harvey Gott, and listen to their podcast. Their podcasts are amazing. And again, if you want to get your podcast, your event, if you're writing a book, or anything you want to get on this show, I'm doing it for free. Just record the audio, and I'll post it on there. Jim and Mike Talk, Satire Is Not Dead with Harvey Gott, The Stuff of Nightmares with Rick Ness. Those shows have submitted their audio, and I have no problem playing it. So if you have anything you want to promote on this show, send me an email, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4 at charter.net. Now, with that being said, one thing I really want to do, 2021 is coming up, and I started doing it in 2020, I think it was, 2019, 2020. I really want to get listeners on the show. So if you have a paranormal encounter or you have a thought on politics or anything that you would like to just spell out for all of our listeners, contact me at ghostseeker4 at charter.net. I know Harvey Gott's coming on the show this coming year. Rick Ness is coming on the show this coming year. I'm sure I'll have Jay Miles back on the show this year. You can be on the show this year too, but you got to contact me at ghostseeker4 at charter.net and just let me know your encounter, and I'll get you on the show. You can talk about it, and I want our listeners, instead of hearing me describe your encounter, it sounds better when it comes from you because you were the one that went through it. Now, one personal note that I hate to ask and pains me to ask, but I have to ask because all of my listeners, we all know how my wife is doing. We all know that she's been struggling with cancer, and your prayers, I think, I believe, truly 100% have persevered her. Well, I need more prayers. My mother, back in late 2018, December 2018, she was diagnosed with cancer. She had surgery to remove that cancer, and she was told, you know what, you're cancer-free, go ahead and continue living your life. And then November of 19 came, and the cancer came back very aggressively. So she had major, major surgery in January of 20 that they basically removed her insides just to eliminate the possibility of this cancer ever coming back. She was hemming and hawing, and she wasn't sure if she wanted to do this surgery because it was an 8-month recovery. It was a major surgery. She decided she wasn't ready to go yet and wanted to do the surgery. She did the surgery and developed a major infection. And since March of 2020 up until now, they have been trying to get this infection under control and cannot do it. She is in excruciating pain, and if you've ever met my mother, you know that she is a very, very, very strong woman. Will not show you that she's in pain. She's in pain. So this past week, she went in for another surgery to try and remove all the infection and the dead tissue and the dead muscle. She blew an artery. She literally blew an artery on Thanksgiving Day. She went to put a pie in the oven, and her artery blew. She had an open wound from a previous surgery that they had a wound vac on. And as my sister said, when she got to the house, it looked like a murder scene. So she was rushed to Covenant Hospital in Saginaw and then rushed to U of M, University of Michigan Hospital, by ambulance because there's more going on. She had surgery to repair her artery, get rid of all the infection, and come to find out the cancer is again back, and it has spread. They're telling her maybe 6 months, maybe 9 months. I need a miracle. My mother is the matriarch of our family. My father depends on my mother more than anybody can imagine. So if my mother goes, my father is not far behind. I'm not ready for that. I need prayers. I need prayers like you wouldn't believe. You guys came through and just lifted my wife up with all your prayers. I need it again. I am a firm believer in the power of prayer. And for those of you who can, please just say a prayer for my mother. Her name is Julie. Just, we need it. The family needs it. So, with that being said, I thank you in advance, but let's move on with the show. All my personal stuff is done. Let's talk about the monolith. So, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago maybe, there was a helicopter, I think it was Utah DNR officers, were flying over looking at the elk or I think it was elk population. I'm not quite 100% sure. It really doesn't matter to the story. But they were doing a survey. And as they were flying in their helicopter, the person in the passenger seat said, "Whoa, hold on, turn around. There's something down there." So in this remote canyon in the middle of nowhere, they set this helicopter down and they come across what they call a monolith. Now, this monolith is a three-sided silver, looks smooth, very shiny, just monolith, I guess is what you call it. It reminds me and everybody else of what was in 2001, A Space Odyssey. It was there. Nobody knows how it got there. And it became a media and viral sensation. Very shiny. Very smooth. Now, if you look at this really close, it looks like there may be screw holes in this thing. But all of a sudden, as quickly as it showed up, it vanished. Now, when I found out it vanished, the first question in my head was, wait a minute, nobody was there to watch over this thing? At night, everybody just left? I mean, this is a monolith that nobody knows where it came from. Nobody knows what it is. It is a story that has made worldwide news, but yet at night, nobody's there? Well, lo and behold, it just vanished. People showed up the next morning expecting to see this monolith, and it wasn't there. There was just a pile of rocks in its place. But then we find in Romania, there's a very, very similar monolith that showed up. Nobody knows where that came from. It has the same essential dimensions. It looks the same. And then that vanishes. And then in Los Angeles, California, on a rock outcrop on a cliff, they found a partially buried monolith that looks exactly the same as the others. So what are these things? Are they legitimate 2001 A Space Odyssey? Are they alien? Is somebody trying to communicate with us? I'll be honest with you, I don't think so. I think it's a hoax. I think a group of people planted that monolith in Utah for reasons unknown. And once it got attention, they came out and removed it. And again, no idea why nobody was there to watch over it. I mean, if you've got a monolith that you have no idea what it is, where it came from, how it got there, you would think you would have at least one person there guarding it overnight. For situations like this where nobody can take it, but nobody was there. So that makes me think that they looked at this and said, yeah, this is human-made. This is a prank. This is nothing. But then in Romania, one shows up. And then in Los Angeles, one shows up. And I think that's just, hey, we can get our 15 minutes of fame on this. I really, really don't buy into the alien monolith, the alien communication theory that's going out. I just think it's a bunch of people that put a monolith out there. They may have been doing some type of UFO communication, trying to communicate with the UFO. They may have been some religious sect. I don't know, but I don't think it's alien. I don't think it's extraterrestrial. I don't think it's paranormal. I think it's just a bunch of people that put that out there and like, oh man, we need to get that thing out of there because this is causing way too many problems. And they went out there one night and nobody's there. Which, again, it blows my mind, and that makes me think that they knew from the get-go that this was nothing extraterrestrial, paranormal, supernatural. Again, looking, I've viewed this monolith many, many times and zoomed in and looked at it, and it's very, very crisp. It's very clean. The lines are clean. It's very shiny. But I'm telling you, I think I see screws in there. And, you know, if you're an alien race that are able to travel through time and space or from another dimension or another planet, you've gone beyond screws. I'm sorry. You're not using the Phillips screwdriver to to fix your warp drive. So to answer all of my listeners' questions, no, I don't think it's alien. No, I don't think they're trying to communicate with us. I think it's a bunch of humans that were using it for some reason or another. I can't tell you what it is. But they saw that it was making a lot of noise on the news channels, got rid of it. And the fact that nobody was there at night to watch over this thing makes me think that they knew it wasn't anything special. And now you've got copycats in Romania. I've heard of a monolith in England and now in Los Angeles, California. And I'm sure you're going to find more down the road. And it's just people doing copycats. That's all it is. Would I love it? Would I love it to be alien? Absolutely. But at this point, I'm more convinced that crop circles are a way that the aliens are communicating with us as opposed to a monolith. All right, so that's my view on the monolith. When we come back, we're going to talk paranormal encounters. I'm going to go through a couple encounters of Mothman and Dogman. The epic battle of Mothman and Dogman. We've all known about it. It's all in the history books, right? Sit back, relax, and open that mind. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back.
This is Jim.
Hey, and this is Mike.
Be sure to listen to
the Jim and Mike Talk Podcast.
Two Gen Xers walk into a bar
to talk about music
and what moves them.
You can find us on iTunes, Spotify,
and our host site, Podbean.
And now, on to the Paranormal Patriot.
Dreams keep falling down from the sky. This false sense of hope, and I don't know why. Yeah, I thought I could climb so high, but I can't even seem to say goodbye to the dreams I have every night. Lifelong goals you just can't rewrite, and that tiny hope it will end. It'll all be really worth if you just transcend far above the clouds and those down below that will hold you back. Yeah, don't know what it's like to go through that.
Okay. So I mentioned this in a previous episode that now that everybody is basically quarantined and cannot go to the store, cannot go to restaurants, they're finding different ways to entertain themselves. And they're doing it by getting outdoors. And not that that's a bad thing. But what you're finding is you're seeing a huge uptick in the number of cryptid sightings over the past, we'll call it year, since March. In March, everything shut down. And people were just like, I don't know what to do. So people started buying campers. People started buying kayaks. People started buying canoes. And they went out and they started hiking and they camped and they went down the rivers in their canoes or their kayaks. And they began seeing things that they never thought were possible. In over the last 6-8 months, the reports of cryptids, especially Dogman, Bigfoot, and Mothman, have skyrocketed. So what I want to do, I want to go over a couple, just a couple. I don't have time to go over everything, but I've got a couple sightings, encounters of Mothman and Dogman that I want to go over with you. So the first one is, it's from Chicago. And for those of you who have listened to the show for a while, you know I had a little run back a year and a half, 2 years ago, where the Chicago Mothman was the topic of every show. Because everybody was seeing the Mothman almost every night of the week. And the number of reports were just overwhelming. And then they started to die down in Chicago and move to other places in the country. Well, apparently in Chicago, it's still a thing. So this one is the O'Hare Mothman, and it's encountered by a Tracon air traffic controller. Now, I found this on the internet, and then I followed up and got an update. So the first one, the first encounter you're going to hear is the original encounter from an O'Hare International Airport air traffic controller, and he recalled his encounter with a tall, red-eyed wing humanoid while on the job in July of 2020. Now, he states, I have worked at O'Hare International Airport for the past 7 years as a member of the air traffic control team, and in my times have overseen the flight operations in and out of the airport hundreds of times. In my times, I have seen many strange things around the airport, but none have been as spectacular as the sighting I had back in July of 2020. I was working the late evening at Tracon and had just walked away from one of my mandatory breaks. These breaks help us rejuvenate and also help break up the monotony of what can be an otherwise tedious routine and help prevent us from falling asleep. During these breaks, I usually go out for a walk to help clear my head and change the scenery. I was walking toward one of the terminal buildings when I noticed some movement out of the corner of my eye, and for some unknown reason, I stopped and turned in the direction of the movement and noticed a large black shape coming to a rest on the ground near a light pole. This thing was at least 6 or 7 feet tall and jet black. It looked like a very big bat, but was also very human-like in appearance. I noticed that it sported a very large and impressive set of black membrane wings that also looked like the wings of a bat. They were open to their full length and must have been at least 12 feet from tip to tip. The arms on this thing were very, very long and very skinny and ended up in long bony fingers tipped with what appeared to be long talons. The legs on this being were comparable with the arms, long and skinny, but I was unable to really look at the feet to see if they were also shaped similarly to the hands. I stood there, and I saw this thing for about 30 seconds as it seemingly looked around the ground. In the time I was looking, no fewer than two others had come down from the walkway and also saw it. If it had looked up, it would have clearly seen us all staring in bewilderment at it. It kept its head down, looking at the ground until an approaching service vehicle seemingly startled it and it looked up. This is where I saw its head was short and squat, but it had a pair of piercing red eyes. It looked in the direction of the approaching vehicle and began to flap its wings and took to the air. It disappeared above the building in a span of 1 to 2 seconds and was gone out of sight. The witness went on to say, I have heard many stories of the supposed O'Hare Mothman from pilots and other controllers and employees around the airport. I have heard tales of people seeing it in flight or perched somewhere and how it had glowing red eyes and looked like a giant man bat. But many of my fellow contractors have told us of either seeing it themselves or hearing it from others who have seen it, and it has been the subject of radio chatter on multiple occasions. I never gave it much credence to these reports, and even though part of me believed and hoped it was real, seeing it myself only helped me become a true believer. I personally know of 3 other controllers who have had sightings of this thing and just as many pilots who have either reported sightings in and around the airport. I guess you could say that it's kind of built up almost legendary urban tale sort of status amongst those who work at O'Hare. But I want you to know that what I saw was real, and I want to get my story out of there for others to hear, and I want them to know that this thing is really out there somewhere and that trained professionals like myself have seen it and know that it does exist. I hope you find my report useful, and I wish that you could contact me. I would be willing to answer questions regarding this encounter. So what I did is I contacted my source down in the Chicago area. I've mentioned him before. I'm not going to give his name, but he is a resident Mothman expert. And he reached out to the witness and was able to do a phone interview with him in regards to the sighting he submitted. Now, he first began asking him questions regarding his background, and the witness was more than willing to send photos of his work credentials, helping establish his identity, and that he indeed did work at O'Hare Airport. The witness has been working at O'Hare Airport for the last 7 years and has been working rotating shifts
for most of that time, with the bulk of his shifts starting in the evening and rotating around to the overnight shifts. This witness is also a trained weather observer and a graduate of the FAA Training Academy with multiple years of experience. Now, the witness recounted his story as reported, no deviation on the story, and when my investigator friend asked questions meant to cause deviation, the witness corrected the investigator and stood by the story as reported. The witness reported that he was at the very most, 20 to 25 feet from the entity, and that he stood at a window observing it as it foraged on the ground. Now, when the investigator asked him what it looked like it was searching for, the witness said he had no idea. The witness stated that the skin of the wings was a membrane-like and it resembled stretched-out skin similar to that of a bat. The investigator asked the witness if he felt any kind of dread or impending danger as reported in similar sightings, and the witness reported no such feelings present during or after the sighting. Investigator also asked about the other witnesses who reported the sighting. The witness stated that both were airport workers, but he had no idea who they were or how to contact them. When asked about the reports that others have had, the witness stated that there are sightings of a winged being quite frequently, but they are never really disseminated to the public for a variety of reasons, such as the witnesses not wishing to report them. He stated that people do talk about the sightings, but never go forward with reporting them due to fear of ridicule, job loss, or not having an outlet to report the sightings. The investigator gave the witness his contact information and advised him that he is free to share the information with other potential witnesses wishing to come forward. So now, there is an update on there. In a recent correspondence with the investigator that I know, the witness stated, "I am more than happy to correspond with you via email regarding my sighting, and I would be more than happy to share with you the stories from my job regarding sightings of this creature. My only condition would be that my name is left completely out of your reports, as I do not want to have any type of negative blowback from my employer. My employer knows that these sightings are going on, and they're starting to happen with quite a bit of frequency, but they are still adamant that people do not talk about it, and they do not want it released to the public." The witness said he refuses to do a face-to-face or any interview where I am recorded so I can protect my job as well as my identity. "I certainly do look forward to corresponding with you and your investigators, and I respond to emails sent by you and your investigators as promptly as I am able to. I thank you very much for the opportunity to get this off my chest, and I look forward to working with you in the future." So, this is an O'Hare worker. You know, I don't know much about it. I haven't got great details from the investigator friend that I know down in the Chicago area. But let's be honest. This is a legitimate sighting. This is multiple sightings. This witness has stated that the higher-ups, I guess you'd call them, know about this and they want to keep it quiet. Why? Because it's the unknown. Anything unknown scares the people. And I think you can look at this and say, yeah, there was a 6 to 7 foot being with bat-like membranes that flew off. Just, it saw a service vehicle and said, whoop, I'm gone. I am flying away. And nobody can really talk about it. But yet, there's more. This encounter comes from a family in San Jose, California. And they said, "I've listened to your show, Tom, and I've gone back and I've listened to the episodes of The Mothman of Chicago, and I want to tell you my encounter that we had in a cemetery in San Jose, California. Recently, my mother passed away from cancer. She left behind 2 sons and a husband, who is my father, of course. Every Sunday, my father would take me and my brother to breakfast, and then we would visit Mom at her gravesite. Now, that gravesite is located in Alum Rock in San Jose, California, which is basically the Calvary Catholic Cemetery. We would go to breakfast early to mid-morning or early morning around 8 a.m. or so. This particular day was no different, and when we arrived at the cemetery at approximately 11 a.m., it was a cloudless, sunny day. We had just walked up to my mother's grave and had a brief moment to get comfortable in a standing position. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw something black perched on a tree branch. It seemed to be facing us. However, the shape of it was without definition. The best description I can give it is that it was a form of a black humanoid bat shape. I could see the form of what looked like a head on shoulders and having wings rise above the shoulders. The bottom part of the creature was much slimmer with the rest of the body, giving the impression of legs standing upright on the tree branch. But it was without definition, appearing as if a person used a black permanent marker and drew its shape. I hope that makes sense to you, Tom. That's the best way I can describe it. As soon as I looked at it, the creature did a nosedive out of the tree with its wings spread out. It then straightened its body, doing a 90 degree upward turn. It tucked its wings and beeline straight towards us. It didn't flap its wings when it flew towards us. Similar to Mothman's accounts, it seemed to cut through the air. I've read about bees and beetles sending a vibration through its wings and allowing a different type of flight. As the creature flew towards us, it simply curved slightly and flew between me and my father and seemed to target my older brother. I say this because he had to turn his shoulders and just managed dodging the creature from hitting him in the chest by a hair. The creature flew past him, making a quick right flying between tombstones and was out of sight. I was extremely terrified, and my dad and brother laughed it off. After asking my father several times what it was, that he finally said it was the Diablo, which is Spanish for the devil. I stopped asking after that. Every now and then, and I'll do a periodic Google search of the cemetery to see if there have been any other accounts of people seeing the same thing, but at this time, I have not found anything. The witness went on to say, "Tom, I've listened to your show for a while, and I've listened to the Mothman of Chicago accounts. I never in a million years thought I would witness my own Mothman. But this account, it is true as I remember it, and my brother could also give you his account as well. I also know of a very interesting account of another flying humanoid witnessed by a handful of kids, who are grown adults by now, that witnessed a flying humanoid of a different nature. This was also witnessed in the daytime, and I could put you in touch with them if you're interested." Now, growing up in the Evergreen area of San Jose during the 80s and 90s, I experienced a ton of inexplicable events as well as my neighborhood friends. I find these events very bizarre, and I believe there's a good chance that the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, located a few miles away, could have influenced some type of reality portal. The area I grew up in was not very eventful, nor was it scary as some of the Skinwalker Ranch accounts, but it's definitely in the same category. I grew up with about 20 neighborhood kids, and I'm sure they would be willing to give you a lot of accounts. My own personal experiences were from UFOs, and he put in parentheses, "I used my car headlights to get the attention of a moving light in the sky, and it flew extremely close, putting on an aerial display," unquote. He then went on to say he has had a nightmare of almost being taken to hell, that when he told a friend about it, his friend did an unintended exorcism. He talks about hearing voices in his dad's house and the ghost of a child that was seen by multiple neighbors at different times. And to make things stranger, and he said, "I have to verify this with my brother, but there was a painting of that boy that was either in my grandparents' house or in our garage," and he's referring to this ghost that everybody saw. "The only event that I documented was the UFO incident, but I really would like some answers or insights into these events. I look forward to hearing from you in the near future." This, again, this is multiple witnesses. I'm not saying that this is a mistaken identity, because I don't. How do you mistake a 6-7 foot tall bat-like humanoid creature? There's just I mean, unless this person's wearing a skin suit and is very, very adept to flying and, you know, soaring, yeah, you're not going to do that out of a tree. You're just not going to do it. You don't have that much room with human technology unless you have a jet propulsion pack, and the witnesses are definitely going to hear a jet propulsion pack. So I've told you before, back when the Chicago Mothman was still around, and I told you that I truly believe that there's something going on, and I think this witness may have some credence to his idea that the Jet Propulsion Laboratory may have opened a reality portal or another portal to another dimension, and that is allowing these creatures into our existence, our reality. In my opinion, that is the most plausible explanation for this, because there were no reports of a Mothman-type creature. And let me back up a little bit. We look at the ancients. We look at our ancestors. We look at the cavemen, the aborigines, the Dogon tribe. We look at them as kind of stupid. We look at them as inferior. But were they? I mean, a lot of what they painted and they put on their walls and their stories and their what we call legends turned out to be true. Look at the Dogon tribe. They pinpointed Sirius B before we even had any inclination that Sirius B was even in existence. They knew about it. How did they know about it? They said they got that information from the gods of the sky. Aliens? We don't know. So we need to take these legends, these theories, these myths that our ancients used to write about and continue. And look at the Native American tribes of today. They still believe in the skinwalker. Does that mean that they're crazy, that that's just an Indian legend? Or does that mean that that has been passed down from generation to generation and it's true? There's a lot of unexplained in this world that we don't begin to know. Just because we're human and we think we're top of the chain doesn't mean we know everything. Every day, if you scoured the newspapers around the world every day, you're going to find an article that states, this changes our whole view of things. This changes the way we think. Because we think we know everything. We think we've got this stuff, this whole universe, we think we've got it down. We think we've got everything on this planet down. We know about physics. We know about the universe. Let me tell you, we don't know anything. We think we're the epitome of a civilization. As far as I know, a civilization that is hell-bent on killing each other is not the epitome. We don't know 90% of what we think we know. Hell, we don't know what's in our oceans on our own planet. But yeah, we're going to come out and say, we know this, we know this, this is how it is, and if you think differently, you're wrong. But 2 months later, they're going to come out and find, oh, yeah, this has changed. We were wrong about this. So when we think we know about the paranormal, we don't. The paranormal has been ridiculed. The paranormal has been chastised for being fringe, for being just wrong. You can't believe in that. That's crazy. That's conspiracy theory talk. It's coming into the mainstream because more and more people are seeing these things. And they're questioning, what are these things? Why am I seeing them? And with that in mind, we're going to talk about Dogman. I gave you a couple accounts of the Mothman. I'm going to give you a couple of accounts of the Dogman that I came across. One of them, the first one, is from Ausable, Michigan. Now, Ausable, Michigan is in the Lower Peninsula. If you put your hand up, put your right hand up and make it just, you know, you got the thumb, then you got Michigan. You've got Michigan on your hand. If you look to the right, your index finger, about the middle, you got two little wrinkles there, the second wrinkle down, and go about maybe half an inch over, that's Ausable area.
That's where we're focusing on with this Dogman account. Now, the reason this one stands out to me is I've been tubing numerous times down the El Sabo River. And being who I am, I'm also floating down there. And I'm not going to say I haven't had a few, but I'm always looking along the shore for a Bigfoot sighting, a Dogman sighting, a cryptid sighting. Never seen one. So this one stood out. This one was sent to me from a listener who has a friend who gave him this story. As you know, I have a large contingent of Michigan listeners because I'm based out of Michigan. But this one said, hey, I want to send you this. My friend sent me this email. He wanted me to send it to you. He doesn't want to give his name. But he said, I was hiking along the El Sabo River this summer in about July of 2020. Now, the El Sabo River is in the counties of Oscoda, Alcona, and Iosco. And this witness says, I remember this as one of the most scary encounters that I've ever had in the wilderness. The witness says, while walking east down the river about 1 hour prior to dusk, he heard what he appeared to hear to be a wolf howl. Now, he had seen wolf prints and seen wolves a lot at his home in Long Lake, Michigan, but he had never heard a howl so deep and almost human-like in all of his life. He said, I got spooked and I set up camp and made a fire, larger than most due to my fear. At dusk, I heard that howling was getting closer and it was directly across the river. I had heard stories of the Wolfman from native powwows and in my family folklore covering the whole USA, but never have I personally seen what I saw that night or the next day. That night, after eating beef barley stew from my canned goods collection, I laid down by the fire with my huge folding knife closely gripped to my chest. I was watching and listening to the surrounding woodline for about 30 minutes. At that point, all the wildlife noises stopped. And this meant one thing to me. Something had spooked the local animals. And that made me very uneasy. I looked away from the fire, and as my eyes adjusted, I looked across the river, which was about 100 meters across from my fire. That's when I saw the most unnerving sight ever. On the sand was a creature standing maybe larger than the average black bear, with black fur, large, long skull, and yellow reflecting eyes like that of a wolf. I closed my eyes and hoped I wasn't imagining things, and then it gave out a howl again. I opened my eyes and it ran up the bank and disappeared into the night. As it ran, it didn't run on all fours like a bear or a wolf, nor did it run full upright like a human or a primate. It ran on two legs, but it kind of slouched over. I was so scared that I slept the rest of the night in a tree about 20 feet off the ground. It took me 3 hours of praying to ease my fear so that I could sleep. To this day, I have no idea what I saw, but I do know it was nothing that I've ever seen before. And again, my family has tubed down the El Sabo River, and this is right in my neck of the woods. So the dogmen are out there. Okay, I'm going to go over one more dogman account. I've got a ton more, but we'll save those for another day. I'm running out of time in the show. This is a black bipedal cryptid wolf observed at West Grand Lake, Maine. This was sent to me by a listener, and she said this occurred in September of 2020 while visiting at West Grand Lake, Maine. I had been playing with the dogs outside around dusk. The sun was below the tree line, but there was still plenty of light to see by, and I went in to use the bathroom. My husband had been fiddling with a guitar, but he wandered into the bathroom looking like he wanted to say something. He was pale and sweaty, kind of staring into space, so I was naturally concerned. He wouldn't tell me what was wrong at first, but I finally got out of him that he had seen a huge black wolf walk by the window. I told him it must have been a bear, knowing that there aren't supposed to be any wolves around here, but the window was too high for any canine on four legs to walk in front of. He responded no,
It wasn't a bear. But whatever it was, I didn't want it messing with the dogs, so I ran back outside. Now, the dogs were still wrestling in the side yard, oblivious to what was going on, so it was easy to get them back in, and then I had a look around. I didn't see any animal or signs of animals, but I noted that the window was even higher than I thought. When we went back in, my husband described what he had seen as a black bipedal wolf. Bipedal wolf. He said that the snout and ears were wolf-like, but that it had yellow eyes that reminded him more of a cat. I went out and measured the window, and the bottom of it is 6 feet off the ground. So for anything's head and torso to pass by it from where he was standing, the animal would have to have been more like 7 feet tall. One of our dogs is tall enough if he stood on his hind legs, but we've never seen him do that on his own, and he's blue-gray with floppy ears and brown eyes. There aren't any huge black dogs on any road around here that I know of. Now, my husband is very skeptical of anything not accepted by the scientific community, but he still insists that it wasn't a black bear he saw. He concluded that he must have been hallucinating the whole thing. Now, 2 weeks later, around the same time of the day, my husband saw the same animal. This time, he was close to the window and the animal was further away, running out through a small stand of red pine. He still doesn't believe it was real, even after seeing it a second time. And then, and the witness is not sure if this encounter is related, but she states, about a week later, as I was gardening, my husband called out back to me, really shook up again. He said he was sitting in his computer chair and thought I was standing over his shoulder. He said when he looked up, it was a black form, and she put in parentheses, like a shadow person. He jumped and it was gone, but it scared the crap out of him. He wanted me to come inside and keep an eye on him because he was afraid it meant he was having a stroke or something. So this man sees a large bipedal wolf creature twice and discounts it as his imagination, hallucination, because he believes that the scientific community will tell him what is real and what is not. And then he has an incident with a shadow person and discounts that as he's having a stroke. Now, I'm not saying that what he saw was a dog man. I'm not saying what he saw and witnessed and encountered was a shadow person. But every inclination, his description, his wife's description, it inclines me to believe he had two incidences and encounters with a dog man, and then he had an encounter with a shadow person. Are those two related? That's the big question. If you look back through Native American Indian legends, nearly every Indian tribe talks about shapeshifters or skinwalkers, depending on how you want to call them. They are beings, they are creatures that are able to change shape and change essentially who they are and what they are. So maybe, just maybe, this wolf man, this dog man that this gentleman saw twice, had manifested itself into a shadow person. And the question is why? Why is this creature so enthralled with this man? That's the big question. So let me know what you think. Have you had a paranormal experience? Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Now, before we go, I do have, and this is a subject that I am near and dear to that I don't talk about nearly enough on this show, but UFOs. I had a listener this week send me an encounter that he had in Mackinac County, Michigan. Now, this man was driving on I-75 in Mackinac County when he observed a large muscular creature crossing the road in front of him. Shortly afterward, a bright, unidentified flying object quickly ascended into the sky. Now, the following account was sent to me via email by this person who remains or wishes to remain anonymous. Now, it starts out, this past summer in August, I was driving on I-75 a couple of hundreds of yards south of the Bay Road overpass in Mackinac County, Michigan. I noticed something move near the highway reflectors. Thinking it was a deer, I turned on my bright lights and watched for it to cross the road. Here in Michigan, and I'm sure in the northern area of this country, that is a common thing. When you see something move, you turn on your bright lights, slow down, and wait for the deer to cross. He goes on, as I approached it, I noticed that what I thought was the reflectors on the highway were orange, and then it blinked on and off like an eye. I was thinking, what the heck is that? So I sped up to get closer. And as I got closer, I could see the silhouette of an animal. It was sitting like a dog. Its head was even in the reflectors. It stood on all fours and turned and walked down into the ditch, then up a little incline, then turned and looked at my truck. It turned back to the highway and walked on all fours towards the shoulder of the blacktop, looked at the truck again with those orange eyes. These eyes were huge. It then jumped to within a foot or two of the center line, and then the next jump landed in the grass on the shoulder of the road. That was probably like 100 feet from it. The animal was rippling in muscles, and it looked like it weighed around 500 pounds or more. It had hair which covered its body, and it looked short, and its head was huge with hardly no neck. After I passed where it crossed, I hit the brakes, as there were no cars on the highway, and I started to back up. As I got close to the spot where it crossed, I suddenly felt fear and thought, what the hell am I doing? I put the truck back in drive and began to leave. As I was rolling the window up, I glanced back and noticed a large bright light, like a floodlight, ascending into the sky at a high rate of speed. It was at an angle of about 1 o'clock, and in just a few seconds was out of sight. Something else that was strange is that there were not any light rays trailing it. That is an encounter just recently from a gentleman in Mackinac County, Michigan, I'm sorry. And there is a theory that Dogman, that Mothman, that Bigfoot are actually alien pets, alien cryptids, alien beings. The theory is that these are either pets of the aliens or these are the aliens themselves. But there are numerous, and the numbers are growing, of sightings of Bigfoot, of cryptids, of Dogman, of Mothman, where just after they see them, they see what they consider an unidentified flying object. And this is a perfect example of that. Whether or not that's true, that's up for discussion. But contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net and let me know. Let's get interactive on this show. I want to hear your opinion on everything I talked about. So again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. So I do believe that'll be it for the show today. We're going to leave you with a demo of the new Christmas song Multiple Myself and Tommy V are working on. It's a coronavirus Christmas. So let me know what you think of the show this week. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Are you going to take $1,500 to get that vaccine? I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Again, contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net.
Tommy V and I wish everyone a very Merry Christmas. It's Christmas time, let's just spread some holiday cheer. We gotta make the best of this coronavirus year. Let's spend some time together and just have a little fun. Keep your eye on the future, cause Corona's almost done.
It's been a hard year on all of us, this much is true. I can't help thinking that I can't wait until this year is finally through. Coronavirus lockdowns, riot and election blues, depression and depravity is all we see on the news. Things are gonna get better, this can't last forever. We will get through this if we just learn to work together. We've seen our loved ones suffer, people so lonely. It's bad enough that these problems aren't the one and only, but it seems every week there's something new. If you're down and out and depressed,
virus, we can do
Christmas time.